B-Pod Studios.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankrolls. Who you got?
It's Over Under 98.5, the podcast. We're back after a two-week hiatus. Dan Lifshatz was on a cruise ship. He was on a boat.
Big boat.
And you were partying it up, I assume?
Yeah, not too crazy. We got drunk a couple days, but wasn't crazy. Honestly, dude, I needed a break. Been working a lot, needed a break, so...
Were you off Twitter?
What's up?
Were you off Twitter?
I was off Twitter. I had no...
How did that feel?
It was fucking fantastic.
I agree.
Oh, dude, Twitter fucking blows.
Oh, I know, man.
So, you know, it was really nice being away from, you know, just all that shit.
No pressure of your bets hitting that day or anything like that?
No, you don't have to hear any of the bullshit if your bets don't hit or anything like that. So no, it was nice to kind of be away from all that.
Good for you. You know what? I always make the analogy. I wish I could plug myself in like I plug my cell phone in. You know, so sometimes we all need that. We need a recharge. You know.
Yeah, definitely. I fully agree.
And we're entering March Madness here, of course. So while you were out there, I did decent. I think I went 5-2-1 overall.
It's pretty good.
And
it's pretty good.
The boxing stuff. So Fury won. It didn't go over, but they threw in the towel. So I know we're kind of kicking back a couple of weeks here. But I won on that. You lost. We won a little bit. Lost a little bit. Whatever. We picked somebody on the podcast picked the fight right.
Yeah, I believe the knockout, the TKO knockout hit, which is kind of
that's
what I said,
right.
Being sharp, right? So,
mm-hmm.
So someone won, someone.
Yep. Again, last week. So last Saturday we did our show, the DraftKings show. We had Steve Buchanan and Julian Edlow in for you. It went well. Show was seamless. Julian very good with his college basketball and NBA picks, and Steve was actually dropping some really good baseball and XFL stuff. So it was a good mix. We even dropped some hockey stuff in there towards the end. So a nice mix of everything, and it was good to get a little different voice in there. But Dan is back with his lift stats. I should fill you in that the appearance on Tetra and Rich last week. I was in for Wallach, who was out, and it was just me and Fred during the Bankroll Boys segment, which is no good.
Oh, boy.
And so he goes, all right, what's the degenerate pick of the day? And it was Longwood and Presbyterian. And I took Longwood on the road, and they won. And the reason why I did was because Presbyterian was 1-9 in its last 10 games. And Longwood, Longwood won by 3, but you know what Fred does, though. He goes all in. So he went all in at 375, and now they're up 750.
Wow, there you go. Good job, Joey Murr.
So I think we've hit that bet now, I want to say, 4 or 5 weeks in a row.
Yeah, but let's not jinx it. We got another one tomorrow.
Right.
Obviously, it's being recorded Wednesday night, so we got another one tomorrow.
So we'll see how that one goes for all the people that are tuning into the podcast on Thursday afternoon. You might just have to go on 98.5thesportshub.com. And find out what our degenerate pick was. Anyways, all right, so NBA of late, Dan, the lines have been dead on. The last Saturday night, the Celtics were -1 all day long, all day against Houston. Right before tip-off, they go to +1, and it pushed. It landed right on 1. So somebody says to me, why don't you just take the money line, dude? Just take the money line or nothing. Well, that's why I took the +1, because they lost by 1. And you took the money line, and you lost. And it's a lesson learned, I think.
It is, and I think that there's been a lot of people this year who have kind of told me, like, why not just take the money line? Why not just take the money line? And this year, more than ever, we're seeing teams win by 1 or 2 points this year at a higher rate than any year in the past 5 years in both college and the NBA, which to me means you gotta take the points. Instead of the extra 5 cents, take the points.
I'll give you a couple scenarios. Last Saturday, dude, we took 5 underdogs, and I believe they all won. Oh, no, you know what? No, they didn't. I took BYU to lose after their big win.
They won. They covered, right?
They won and covered. But besides that, though, Providence won outright on a 7-point dog on the road. Virginia was on the road. They hit a shot at the end of the game. Believe it or not, so they beat Duke this week, but the night before, or on Thursday night, they hit a 3-pointer at the buzzer to cover the 2.5 to win by 3. So, like, it was incredible. Like, on Thursday night, I think I bet 4 games, and, you know, every team won, but Penn State didn't cover but won at the buzzer. Maryland hit a shot late. They were +1. Boom. They hit won the game by 1. So, depending on what side of it you were on that. I guess the point I'm trying to say is the NBA and college basketball, that's what people are betting on for the most part. You know, XFL is still profitable, but the lines are so dead on. So dead on right now, and I think right now you have to... I think you have to pick and choose. Like, for me, I took 2 plays tonight, and I'm sure they'll recap tomorrow, but... It might be square, but I like Virginia to beat Miami. Miami's lost to everybody this year. It's a little square. It's 2.5 down to 2, but that's what I have tonight. And I like the Celtics on the road without any players -4 because I think Cleveland really is that bad. So there might be square. They're all favorites. It's all chalk, but we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I think the number, maybe they'll come right down to the numbers because that's the way things have been going now with basketball.
Yeah, I disagree with the Celtics pick. I think the Cavs, especially on the Celtics with no days of rest, have not been a great team this year. So I do kind of somewhat like the spot for the Cavs. But either way, I think that you're kind of, you know, it will be close there. I like Virginia tonight, too. I know that, listen, every night there's going to be spots where you can be sharp or square. You know, there's always going to be teams, always going to be spots. I like Virginia tonight. I think that you've been backing some of these square spots, Joe. And they've been working. I just want to warn people, don't get too comfortable, because now we're seeing, I think, an overration of Virginia.
And again, to your point, Saturday, that's exactly what I did. I faded all the square spots.
And you crushed. And it crushed.
Really well. It crushed this weekend. And I wanted to make it a focus on underdogs this weekend because, yeah, Villanova, 7 points at home, but... That last meeting, dude, they couldn't hit a 3 for their lives. Providence, you know? And I just thought that they play a lot tougher, and they did.
And they did. And you definitely nailed that one without question. And I would say tonight is, I think we have some really interesting games coming up in the next few days, at least in my opinion.
Well, real quick, Xavier is getting rocked right now by Providence early on.
The tournament's in Providence. That actually... doesn't surprise me that much. Yeah. It's basically a home game for Providence, and despite that loss to Villanova earlier in the year, Providence has been a really good home team, so it doesn't really surprise me too much.
And then the Big Ten's interesting again. Oh, man, what a weird weekend it was. There were some fades that didn't work. I don't know if I figured it out yet, but, like, Sunday I loved Ohio State. They won. They covered. I kind of like Indiana tonight. I think they're up a little bit early here. We'll see how it goes. But Michigan State last night, I liked. They had a massive comeback. Massive comeback in that game.
And I'll give you this, Joe. Michigan State last night was very sharp. I think almost every sharp I know was on Michigan State. I actually like the other side. Didn't play them, but I like the other side, and I'm happy.
Penn State finally got Jones back. Like, I've been riding Penn State, they just, without Jones, they're a different team. Dude, they hit 9 threes in the first half, and they went cold.
They went shit in the second half.
Yep, they went cold. But Rutgers, they're, you know, Maryland's a damn good basketball team. They really are. Jalen Smith, that kid's going to be a player in the NBA. He's gonna be like a stretch four in the NBA.
I think he could be a legitimate NBA starter.
Yeah. Like I mean, he's a guy that can play the four. That's a big. He's a big, you know. But what I mean by it is, they go on the road last night and played a tough place in Rutgers. Rutgers wins, and the numbers are crazy. Our buddy Marty Mush? Did you see his tweet last night?
I did about that. You know me. You know how much I love the Mush. I mean, Mush is my guy. But
I love it though. Name. I want to know now what ball they have. Like, what do we call that? The mangle, the Mush angle,
Mushkel. I'm in on the Mushkel.
The Mushkel.
Yeah, or maybe the Marangle, Marty angle. I don't know. We gotta come up with something for that.
The mangle.
The mangle.
The Marty Mush angle.
The mangle. The Mamangle.
The Mamangle. Don't be making those shirts, Prez.
Oh my God! Yeah, seriously. Especially after Wide Dog yesterday. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh well, yeah, whatever. We don't need to get into the podcast, but someone went after Barstool and they turned it into a shirt, which of course always means that, you know, they take the things that people attack them with and they turn it into money. What else is that?
All right, well, that's our shit, so don't take it. We have people. Agreed. We have people who've hashtagged on it. Maybe we'll trademark it. I don't know.
Ooh, I like that.
Maybe you know a guy, because I don't know.
I don't have a trademarking guy.
I don't know. There was some guy at your wedding that was talking my ear off who looked like... do you ever watch Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul?
Yep.
What was the police officer's name there? The Fed.
Jay?
No, the guy that was a Fed and his wife was like a thief. She stole everything.
Are you talking about the movie?
No, not the movie. Breaking Bad. The chick. Yeah. What was?
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name.
Oh, come on! People are freaking out right now. They're like saying the guy's name out loud. Hank.
Hank. Okay. Thanks.
Hank Schrader. The whoever that guy was, who looks like Hank Schrader, man, he was at your wedding. The guy told me he could have got me anything I wanted, I think.
Well, you know us Jews, we promise the world, we deliver very little.
over promise, never deliver.
Pretty much, that's how we operate. Unless it's a degenerate basketball play on a Thursday morning. That's so, about the only thing that we can deliver.
So a couple of things last night. So last night you had that Howard game, which is like fucking degenerate city. I didn't want to watch that game.
That was Monday night. Yeah, Monday. I loved Howard. Howard was in such a good spot.
That was like the biggest degenerate special of all time. And then you had Rutgers last night.
I also had Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, they sucked.
So I went 1-1
there. Yeah, and I went 1-1. I had the Celtics under 219, which I think is the worst beat I've had in a long time. And what I mean by a beat, yeah, I know this shit happens. Dude, the Celtics were up 21. There was 159 points in the game. Like, I know Hayward was out. I know Jaylen Brown left the game. Like, that's what bothers me about the Celtics, right? Is you want them to compete. They're clearly talented enough. They are. Their coach sometimes, I think, puts them in bad situations. I do. And, you know, in particular last night, when you have a 3-point lead, Dan, with 0.2 seconds left in the game, you better win that fucking game. And you didn't. And they didn't. They weren't going to cover anyways. So you wanted the overtime so the Celtics could cover. They already went way over the total. That game had no business going over the total, and that game should have been a Celtics -6 fucking lock.
Yeah, no, I actually very much agree with that.
All right. Any other? Because that was a bad loss. That was one of the
worst ones I've seen in a very long time, Joe.
That was a bad loss, and people, dude, I was heated last night.
As you should have been.
And it wasn't because I lost the bet. It wasn't because I lost the bet. It wasn't. Anyways, and then, dude, it's so funny, right? I took the over in the Laker game, which went over. And the second half spread was 106.5. And a bunch of people were like, dude, what are you going to do with it? I'm like, I don't know, man. I feel like under is the way to go. You might be able to middle both, you know? And it lands, the Lakers, went at 107. It landed on 107. Second half.
I mean, again, these books are fucking incredible. Like, you have to remember, the book's going to be better than you. So unless you're really finding a legitimate angle, just don't fucking play anything.
So
it's not that hard.
You mentioned the angle. I mean, we now have 11 straight Celtics games that have gone over the total in the second half.
I think last night the total went over by like 30-something points, right, in the second half.
Yeah, because of a 51-point fourth quarter. And then overtime.
It was something stupid like that. Dude.
But that game had, again, no business. Like
I agree.
And I actually didn't touch it last night. Because I thought that the Celtics had such a big lead, they no Kemba Walker. They want Kemba to like get his rest, and like, I still don't know what happened last night.
It was a crazy game, dude.
Whatever.
That's the best way to put it.
So right now, I'm kind of locked in on NBA and college hoops. XFL, the unders are still the Roughnecks game this week was 50 was the total, and it went under. But, like, the fact that that game went under, I don't know how. It landed on 47. But, I mean, at this point, do you just take the under in every game?
I mean, I would even consider teasing some of them at this point. I think if you look at teases, I think almost every single game, I think it's like 87% of games would have gone under if you had teased the total. So, I mean, I would almost just consider fucking teasing everything at this point. I already know that I've already put in two XFL under teases this week. Now, this is probably the week, because I just said that everything goes over. But I'm not going to feel bad. I'm not going to feel bad about it, to be honest with you. Like, I just, you know, I think that right now it's a legitimate angle you have to pay attention to, in my opinion. Again, I just, why ride anything else? If you're going to bet an XFL game, bet a spread or bet an under, because there's no other reason to bet anything.
Yeah, and I think the Roughnecks are a good team, and they're the best team right now. And
I do too. My DC Defenders have really fallen back a little bit, which I'm not too pleased about.
I don't know what happened. It's kind of like Cardell Jones all of a sudden can't pick up a blitz.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe they're figuring out a little bit, so hopefully, you know, they... they can change that. I don't know. I think it's very possible they could change that.
And baseball's coming, Dan. Our buddy Steve Buchanan this week gave an over total on the Cincinnati Reds.
I like that. It's definitely an angle. You take a look at their pitching staff. They're much better with Trevor Bauer, obviously, at the helm. If he stays healthy, he should have a really good year. I mean, I think that, you know, just in general, the Reds have a chance to be much better. So I fully much agree with that.
And the Red Sox today got news regarding Chris Sale. He's not expected to have Tommy John surgery.
My guess, and this is kind of what I was listening to today, is that if he's out for 18 months and he's not going to be ready for the start of the season, that even if he has the surgery in 3 or 4 months, it still puts him ahead of the start of the season
for next year,
2022. So my guess is they're going to try
to push it. 2022?
Well, he's going to be 18 months. So, you know, he's going to be out next year. And then, but even, you know, they're going to try and get out of them more than they can this year, my guess.
How old is he going to be then? Huh? How old will he be then?
I don't know. 33?
Like, dude, in 2022, we're going to be like, fuck Chris Sale. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to...
I mean, aren't we kind of already it that way?
I mean, like, did that happen with Dustin Pedroia?
He's 30, so in 20, and he's turning 31 at the end of the month. So 2023, he'll be 33.
He'll be 33, yep. Which is old.
Yep.
Oh my God. But hey, Rich Hill, who I play ball with, 48. I'm 30. I'm gonna be 38 next week, so he's gonna be 40, right? Rich Hill, he had Tommy John surgery, and he's still going with Minnesota right now.
Yep, you know, he definitely is, and I mean, you know. Listen, I'm just saying, I think Sale is going to have a surgery at some point. So you might as well get it over with, because the Sox are going to suck this year.
So should we under?
with the Sox?
Yeah.
I mean, I told you a long time ago I was taking the under. I hit the under 88.5 about maybe a month and a half ago, mm-hmm. before the Mookie Betts trade. And I'm loving it more each day.
NHL, and we're going to get into the slate for this college basketball game and maybe look at the XFL. I saw today that even though the Bruins beat the Lightning last night, Tampa Bay is still favored to win the Stanley Cup, and I think that's bullshit.
Well, let's not forget that they didn't have Stamkos last night. They didn't have Ryan McDonough last night. So, I mean, they were far from healthy last night. Now, for me, winning that game last night is huge because it gets you, you know, away from another really good team in your division. You need to win the division if you want to have a chance of repeating or getting back to the Cup, in my opinion. And that win last night was absolutely huge. And so to me, that was one of the most important wins.
If you're going to take a team as a wild... So if we've learned anything, right, we have a new winner basically every year.
Right. I mean, the repeating is just... It's silly.
So... I don't. It's not the Blues, and hypothetically, let's say the Bruins win the President's Cup, a trophy, not the Cup, President's Trophy.
Yep.
I mean, they're automatically out because, like, that's just like the theme, you know.
Well, that never bodes well. At least it hasn't recently.
So, do you go back to a Washington? Do you maybe look at like a Colorado Avalanche, who we've liked for a while?
I think it's probably too early to start getting into, what is going to be for the Stanley Cup. Here's the thing. We're in early March. I like to start making my pick in late March, early April. Once I kind of see how teams are playing going into the playoffs, to me, that's where you kind of, you know, you kind of get to see everything. What team is going to be healthy around that time? What team is not? What team is going to be able to do, you know, X, Y, and Z? So, to me, those are the important things. So I'm gonna wait to reserve judgment, but I do think there is probably gonna be one team that usually comes out of nowhere, and I'm just not high on the Bruins right now winning the Cup. I think they're super top heavy still, and they're trying to, you know, not be super top heavy, and you know, work last year. So maybe it could be wrong, but I don't know if.
Colorado has always been my sneaky team. Okay, so they're up. I'll give you a sneaky, sneaky, sneaky team.
Okay.
Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, I mean, we were on the over. We were on the over of them, you know, on their point total, and I think that is going to hit pretty easily. They seem to be absolutely rolling, and that's not a surprise. They're a really, really good team. They're much better than, you know, most people expect them to be. And so, you know, I think that there's a chance they could be that team that kind of comes out nowhere. So.
All right, Dan, that's our kind of our recap from last week. Did you heard about the goalie, right? That, I don't know if you're on a cruise trip or not, but the Maple Leafs were playing the Hurricanes and both goalies, Mrazek and whoever the other guy is.
I was here for that.
Oh, you were here for that?
I was. Okay. I was here for that. And then they didn't change the rule, which is, of course, brilliant, right?
But, like, for fun, okay? There was a bet out there that who will be the next person to, like, win a game as a goaltender. And I brought up how our good friend of the show here, Andrew Raycroft, the Razor, his wife had to go get his pads one night because Tuukka left the game early. And they needed an emergency goalie. So his wife, like, went to Wellesley and, like, packed up his bag.
Wow.
And, like, started driving into the garden, you know?
Wow.
He thought he was going to have to, like, suit up and hang out in a black room, you know? And so the true story. It happened last year. You can look it up. Joe McDonald has the story from wherever he's at now, The Athletic. But like, the bet was who will be the next guy and, like, the favorite was, you know, a former employee, right? Some employee of a team. But, like, I don't know. Imagine, like, the popcorn guy once, like, you know, played goalie on his high school team or whatever.
I see where you're going with this. I got you. Okay.
You know, like, they have to fuck up this rule. This is the damn one good thing about hockey that I love. Don't fuck it up. One more thing.
Okay.
How many times have you and I been on the air and someone calls in and says, dude, when I played hockey back in my fucking day or whenever I did this, now these motherfuckers have credibility because they can be the next motherfucker to go and goal and win a game.
Yes, they could, Joe. Yes, they can. They could be that guy. So you know what you got to do? Hang up on them and just don't fucking take the call.
No, because that's the problem. So in a way, I've been too hard on these hardos for a long time. They can't. You know what, Dan? They can do it. They can. They're right.
You know? Right. Hey, listen, if you think they can do it, by all means.
That's what I mean. Like, we're not going to go. They're not going to rip us out of the stands to play basketball. There's only 200 good basketball players in the country.
That's fair.
In baseball, like, hey, Joe, go fucking hang out on the wall in left field. You know what I mean?
Might be able to catch a ball.
No. What I would do if I had to go into a game, I'd just lean. I'd stand 10 feet in front of the wall. Anything in front of me, I'd grab and hit a cutoff man. Anything behind me, I'm letting hit off that fucking wall. I'll tell Jackie Bradley Jr. get his ass over there and get it.
Fair enough. Fuck yeah. You're going to Paul Jones and be like, fuck you, get over
here. You go get that ball, you gold glover. You should have had it.
Yeah. Hurry the fuck up, Jackie. Get over here.
Yeah. Xander Bogaerts, you can get your ass out there, too, at shortstop. You can make that play. Or if it was like football, the only thing I could do is long snap. If they're like, Joe, we got to suit you up. You got to snap. Game-winning field goal on the line. Oh, shit. You know? Where's the punter? I got to suck in my gut a little bit.
Suck in your gut and be ready to be fucking hit because you're about to be crushed.
Well, actually, they don't hit the center.
Oh, true, right. And if you know what? They'll fucking hit you.
And if it's a punt, I'm running the fuck down there.
Also fair.
Imagine if I get to down a ball around the goal line.
That'd be fun as fuck, yeah.
I'd pick that shit up and run in the stands. I try to do a Lambo leap. I don't think I could jump, though.
I mean,
am I missing a sport?
I'd like to see it.
Am I missing a sport? Basketball, football, baseball, hockey.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much covered them all, though.
I mean, tennis, nope, no shot.
Nope.
I mean, I could fuck around in golf. I could look good.
Fair.
I mean, I'll go out there if it was like, what's that Olympic sport that everyone loves with the brooms there?
Curling.
Yeah. I'll fucking curl. I'll get that. I'll be like Marge Simpson, fucking, like, just sweeping the shit out of that thing. I'll do it.
All right. What,
and you know what, Dan? I'd also take a punch to the face in a boxing match for $1 million.
Yeah, hell yeah, of course.
It's like, Joe, Tyson Fury can punch you in the face for $1 million. I'd do it.
Of course.
For $1 million, I'd do it.
Everyone would fucking do it for $1 million.
Non-taxed. Tax that bitch up, like 1.3 or whatever, and give me a full mil.
I think it's like 1.4 or 1.5.
Whatever. Fucking tax that bitch up and give it to me. All right, sorry.
It's fine. No, it's fine.
It's been a while.
I know. You clearly had some shit to get off
your chest. I had nobody to talk to about this shit for 2 weeks.
I can tell. You're fucking hurting. I get it. I do. I was on the fucking cruise just relaxing my ass off, and you're getting stressed out by all the assholes on Twitter. I understand.
I cash, though.
I know. That's all that really matters.
Hit the boxing weekend, and then last week was very, very, very nice.
Hey, last night I had a Joe Biden 20-1 ticket to win Minnesota.
Yeah, you were all over that shit last night. Oh, my God.
Dude, I crushed
you. You really thought that he would be the candidate, though? You really did?
Huh?
I was kind of shocked he's the candidate.
No.
By the way, I'm not. I out on politics. Like, I'm not even the guy to even fucking. I know nothing. Like, I literally know nothing. I'm so ignorant when it comes to fucking politics. Like, I can't even talk about it. But the fact that you had the sense to bet on it, I wouldn't. I did bet the president 1 year and it won. Obama, way back when. But, yeah, I wouldn't even know, dude, how to bet this shit.
Yeah, no, this, it was, It was just, I took a couple of stabs. I hit a few. I lost one big one. I lost Bernie in Massachusetts, which I thought
was. The fuck is that? I mean, Warren can't even win in her own state?
Yeah, well, I didn't think she was going to win, but I thought Bernie might. But anyways, nonetheless, you know, I hit pretty much everything else, and I hit that big one, which is really nice. And I have a small fortune on Biden to win the nomination. It just made sense. He's the most qualified person, and I know people on the podcast aren't going to want to hear this, but he's not a socialist.
I don't
care about politics.
Let's look at it as a money factor.
Telling you I like one candidate or the other. I'm just telling you.
Let's look at it.
When I'm betting it, I'm just making sense of it.
So, to me, what were the odds? What were the odds?
Anything but Bernie.
What's the odds?
Well, originally when I bet it, Biden was plus 350.
Fuck!
He got up to plus 1,000.
Holy shit!
A couple weeks ago, and Bernie was minus 600, 700. And then, you know, he crumbled, just as I kind of expected him to. So I have a lot of bets ranging from plus 170 to plus, I don't know, 720, I think, in the Biden range. So I have a very small fortune on it, and when Biden wins, it's going to be redemption, because I was told by a lot of my friends that I was a dumbass for betting on him. And I'm not a politics guy.
Oh, God,
I don't care. But here's what I do know. I do understand how to cap something. And everyone was telling me Sanders was going to win, and I was like, no. I mean, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Or shame on me, sorry. Wow, fuck. Shame on you, shame on me, whatever. Sanders got fucked once. He's going to get fucked twice. Like, come on.
All right.
You don't have to be a genius to understand that.
I'm not a genius. Sorry for the politics talk, but it's about money.
Sorry.
It's about gambling. Money, though.
It's gambling. It's gambling.
It's all that matters. Dan, we're going to go to a break in a minute here.
Okay. We've been going like 30 minutes, so I think people need a break from
this. The Celtics, 58-52 with 5 seconds left. Do we go for 12 in a row? We'll talk about that next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to The Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
Over Under 985, the podcast. We'll get into the whole college basketball schedule, but let's do it. The Celtics, the over is in the second half has gone over 11 straight games. And Dan, what's the score and what's the line?
So I think it's what, 58-52 Celtics at half. Celtics up by 6. And the second half total is 111, and the Celtics are 1 point second half favorites. I think the Cavs are going to cover in the second half. I like the Cavs plus one second half. And I like the
I'd like to teach. I'd like to teach everyone. Let's teach. So I'm without hearing Dan's input. This is a spot where I start to say to myself, do I let it ride or do I fade or follow? And okay, so your book has, what is it again?
I have Celtics second half total at 111 and the spread at 1.
Same here. Boom. Minus 1, 111. Okay, so the score is 58-52. So 8-2 is 10. So it's 110 points on the board. So that means that 221 would be the over for the game. That's a lot of points, by the way. That's just a push. So you would need, and I'm just looking here. This is just how I do it, Dan. 216. So right now, they're already it's already got a soft over already. So you can take the under, try to hit the over 216 for the game, and then middle of the second half under. Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, don't we already have 110 right now?
So we have 110. So 100 would be 210. Now add 11 is 221. So the total for the game was 216.
250.
Okay, 250. So they're giving you 6 points. So you got to go over 7 points. So for what I would do is I'd go under, because let's hypothetically say it stays under 216. Let's say it goes over 216. It might not go up to 221. You can win both the over for the game and the under for the half.
Yeah, I think this is an under.
I agree.
I think this is an under. I think that I like the Cavs in the second half a little bit more than the under, but I think I would take the dog and the under, in my opinion.
So I just wanted to explain how I would look at it. But to your point, Dan, I lean under because I feel like if you like the over for the game, it's not going to go over by much. And if you take the under second half, which 111 sounds like a lot, I mean, Tatum's got 17 points, and then really nobody else is. Shimmy Ojeley's got 15. But if you look at the Cavs, you know, Kevin Love's got 14. Like, Sexton's been the biggest option, and they have nobody else. They have three guys off their bench.
Yeah, you can't, you know, assume that you're going to get 15 points from somebody usually in the second half. Like,
yeah,
it's not sustainable. So the way I look at it is, you played well enough in the first half. I would lead Cavs second half, especially. here's the other thing. You look at the full game spread. You look at it. It's a four. It went off at four and a half. Celtics are up by six, so I can tell you they're only covering the game by seven. I would lean the other way on that, especially when the line's only one. You know, if it's four and the second half line is three or four, okay. You know, they're up by six. They're covering by, you know, eight, nine. Maybe that's a stay away. Cover by seven? I don't think so. I think you're especially expecting, you know, fouls at the end of the game in there. I would definitely lean Cleveland.
Well, I think the spread was four for a reason.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, it opened at, like, 2.5 or whatever it was, so. Listen, I'm not touching the game. I'm not touching the second half. I'm just telling you my thought process behind it based upon the actual spreads that we have from the game and, you know, using it so you can kind of cap your own second halves. Because it looks like, oh, easy, Celtics second half minus one, you know what I mean? So, anyways, let's move on, Joe. There's a couple topics this week. We have a bunch of things that I kind of put out there. I'm going to read the topics, and I'm going to let you decide where we go.
Okay, so quickly, maybe you can go over some of the games for... all right, so I have a Mac computer, right? And my Mac computer has to be plugged in, like my mouse and all that bullshit, you know? So my mouse just died on me, like, out of nowhere, which is kind of funny. So, like, I plugged it in, and it's like, dude, I need to fucking use you, buddy. Why would you just die on me without, like, did anybody else ever have these issues?
Yes, I have a Mac, and the mouse dies.
Is your mouse plugged in like a real man?
Well, I don't plug my. I usually use the one that's built in, so you usually don't have to do that because I don't have a desktop, I have a laptop. But I do have like the wireless mouse, and it never fucking tells you when it's gonna die. At least mine doesn't. It never tells me.
I had a lot of. Twitter. You know how we say we never look at our Twitter online?
At least during the show, I never look at Twitter.
Dude, I got 20. I got like 20 people being like, just crazy, dude.
Yeah, well, right now, I mean, when we do the podcast, I'm usually on Twitter to see if anything breaks or anything like that. But during the actual show, because it's 7 in the morning on a Saturday, usually I don't look at it. But we have to start because we have not been able to answer the questions that people want. So, anyways, all right, Joe, here's the topics we can discuss. Thursday and Friday college basketball slates, that's a must. We definitely have to hit that for the people. I wanted to talk about the NBA futures betting market. We can save that for Saturday if you'd like, or we can talk about that. I think there are two players out there right now that are of tremendous value if you're looking for some legit
and
value.
This is playoffs, okay.
Okay. XFL plays in the over-under update. We kind of did the over-under update kind of said I like playing teases in the XFL. We can definitely discuss XFL, but we should probably save that for Saturday.
Good.
We also have the Tom Brady betting market, which we discussed today.
I think we should do college first, and then I think we should wrap it up with the Brady odds, and then this interesting story about a bettor charged with violent threats to athletes.
Ah, yes. Someone who was part of the Action Network.
So I think we should end it with that. What do you want to get into Thursday's card, Dan?
Yes, so let's start with Thursday. By the way, Xavier making a big comeback there, only down by 3, Joe. So,
well, it's Providence loves to keep these games close. So we have conference tournament games tomorrow.
Big South, Mountain West, I believe, are both going off early. So we got
South Carolina, Upstate Winthrop early,
and UNC Asheville Gardner-Webb early, as well as Air Force, who won today versus San Diego State.
So I don't have lines, but I think Winthrop wins. They're 7-3 in their last 10, won 21 games this year. Like, they want to make the playoffs. Now, the next game, NC Asheville Gardner-Webb, I gotta do some research on that one.
I got nothing on the Winthrop game in terms of lines. South Carolina Upstate, playing well. Don't discount them. In terms of the UNC Asheville Gardner-Webb, I actually bet a future on UNC Asheville to win their bracket. So I am going to be hedging a little bit of that a future. They were plus, they were 30-1 to win the Big South Championship Tournament. So I'll be hedging that a little bit, taking Gardner-Webb against the spread tomorrow, assuming they're not too big of a favorite. But that's just for a hedge. San Diego State Air Force, there's no spread up yet on that one either. I was looking. However, at 5 o'clock, we have our first Mountain West game. UNLV is a 3-point favorite versus Boise State and is in Vegas, Joe. So
neutral court, but in Vegas, yeah.
Yeah, so is it actually a neutral court? It
says neutral, but I think it's bullshit.
Okay, well, let me look at the Thomas and Mack Center because that is where they're playing. I'm not sure. So it is not that it is in UNLV.
So I think Boise's been playing well lately. Damn, I can't believe UNLV's 3-point. I don't know.
Think about this. It's essentially a home game and a tournament.
I got nothing on this one.
Okay. It's too early for me to kind of delve into that.
I have nothing on this one, but all I can tell you is I think Boise's been a pretty decent team this year, but they have struggled on the road where UNLV's been very good at home.
And especially since this is a road game. It's going to be tough, in my opinion. All right, how about this? 6:30, terrible game, but it's a Big Ten game, Joe, so it's, you know, up your alley. Nebraska travels to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. Michigan is a 17.5-point favorite, Joe.
Nebraska's given up, dude. They've given up.
So I actually think that Nebraska is going to lose this game by 20 or 30 points. I think there's a good chance that Michigan might cover this one. Michigan needs to, they're only 9-9 in the Big Ten. Got to get some tune-up games before the tournament. And if you want to make the tournament kind of be, you know, rolling hot, you got to shellack some of these bad teams. Like, you really do. And so to me, I kind of lean Michigan there. All right. Let's move into another Big Ten game, Joe. This one a little bit more palatable. Illinois traveling to Ohio State. Ohio State a 6.5-point favorite.
Well, Dan.
Total set at 132.
I know how you feel about Illinois, and I'm not joking about that.
I hate them.
Ohio State is automatic at home. I'm sorry. I'm not fading that one.
Yeah, 6.5. I actually agree. I lean Ohio State tomorrow versus Illinois. I'm not sure if they are on the road, but Big Ten teams, we know we've kind of talked about, you know, how they fared on the road so far, and we know the answer is not great, right? It's been poor. I think that continues. All right, Joe, number 21, Houston travels to UConn tomorrow. Houston is a 2-point favorite. like anything there.
Ooh, UConn, a 2-point dog at home. So I actually watched this game earlier in the year. UConn made a big comeback, and then Houston won at the end of the game.
Did they win by like one or something?
It's March, dude, and UConn's at home.
Yeah. So is that where you're going?
You know what? Don't ring a bell or anything. Give me the Huskies tomorrow.
Okay. Interesting. UConn 13-3 at home this year. Houston just 6-5 on the road, straight up, with 4-7 against the spread.
Mm.
So UConn definitely the better home team.
That's right.
I would say
there's certain teams in March, dude. Like Michigan State, you don't fade. UConn, you don't fade.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely spots, especially. So we have a ton of tournament games, and we have a bunch of crap games. I say we can save the crap games for tomorrow morning, to kind of talk about that. Let's talk about some other good games that are on the schedule for tomorrow. Nothing great, but some other good games. Stanford travels to Oregon State in the Pac-12. Oregon State, a 1-point favorite, Joe.
So Stanford's been hot, dude. They beat, who was it the other night? Colorado the other night. I think Stanford's the way to go.
So I am actually looked into this game, and I am going to PP Oregon State -1. I'm telling you, by tomorrow morning, the line will be different. Oregon State will probably be a dog, and that's okay. It's not that big of a deal, so whatever. I think Oregon State will win this game by 6 or 7 points. They're such a fantastic.
Well, I saw them beat Oregon. I saw them beat Oregon at home this year, and Oregon had a big lead, and they came all the way back. They got a couple of nice players on their team. Stanford's been hot, dude. But I agree. I've seen Oregon State a couple times. Fuck, 1-point spread, dude. There's like no.
Basically, just pick a winner.
I like Oregon State at home.
It's a decent spot for them. I think that they are the better home side. And I'm not sure how tested Stanford really is on the road still to me. So I'll take a gander there with Oregon State. I think it's a good play. Another big game tomorrow night, Joe. This one has tournament actual implications. Whoever makes this probably has a pretty good chance to make the tournament. Wichita State travels tomorrow to Memphis. Memphis is a 1.5-point favorite. Both these teams on the bubble. I'd say Memphis probably a little bit further out than Wichita State. But if Wichita State wants to make the tournament, this is a massive fucking game on their schedule.
I saw Wichita State come back big the other day. And did they blow it? I forget what happened. It was on Sunday.
I think they lost still, but yeah. They came back.
So I do know that Memphis has been playing better lately. They're at home. This might be a spot.
14-3 at home this year, Joe. So Memphis
for Memphis at home. And plus, Memphis, right? They've had some weird losses, but they have been good. And hey, Wichita State, right? This is what they do. They around tournament time, they start playing well. They've made, they beat Kansas a couple of years ago. So I know they're not the same team as it was then, but I don't know. I'm going to go Memphis in this one.
Interesting. Okay. I don't have a pick for that one.
I think Washington sucks, by the way. 1-9, they stink. And I would roll with Arizona State tomorrow night. You know what?
So there goes the next game I was going to ask you about. Washington travels to Arizona
Washington
State.
Stinks. They smell. They're bad right now. 1-7 on the road, 1-9 in the last 10. They don't cover. They suck. They had a huge lead against, UCLA a week ago, and then they ended up losing by double digits. They had like a 7-point lead and lost by double digits. Out on Washington.
Yeah, to me, Washington is unbackable side right now.
Yes.
Legitimately unbackable.
Like their coach probably, we'll see what happens. Cavs just tied the game at 59.
Yeah, I'm telling the Cavs will be the side to me. I think the Celtics will win that game, but I think it's going to be a very, very close game. All right, let's see what else we got for tomorrow night. a couple late night games. Joe, I always like to ask you about the late night games, especially with your team, Hawaii. Hawaii on the road tomorrow at UC Davis. UC Davis, a 2.5-point favorite at home. You like anything there, Joe?
Give me the rainbows. I'm not getting respect here.
I mean, they're definitely the better team.
No, UC Davis is the better team at home. I know.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's all about winning on the road.
Give me the rainbows.
So, all right, a few more good games here, Joe. Washington State, who's, you know, not a great team, but they're not terrible.
They cover.
Middling, you know, team.
Give me 15, plus 15, Wazoo.
Arizona, 15-point favorites tomorrow.
Nope, Wazoo, plus 15.
I agree. I think that is the side you would need to look at. Arizona should not be laying 15 to Washington State. All right. And then I'd say we have two more games we can cover. California travels to Eugene, Oregon to take on the Ducks. The Ducks, 15.5-point favorites over the Golden Bears.
They stink on the road, Cal. They're going to get blown out.
I agree there. Finally, Joe. Santa Clara, a 7-point favorite at home versus Portland. Now, Santa Clara's been pretty good this
year. Santa Clara.
But have struggled in the WCC. I think it makes a spot looking at Portland possibly for
No. Well, it might be Portland's last game of the year, too.
It is the tournament, so I'm not recommending you play it. I'm just saying there is a legitimate chance for that. All right. Let's move on to Friday.
Yeah, so Friday, and I'll just kind of breeze through here. We got the conference tournament games again. Bradley, Southern Illinois, VMI Samford, Buffalo Bowling Green, and then you get into, I know there's some MAC trends out there that our buddy Bill, who listens to our show, always tweets out. I retweet those a ton. I'll just kind of go through a couple, Dan, because I call this the smart games. Browns at Harvard. I don't know what the line will be. Harvard's been playing much better lately since their back-to-back losses. Yale fell a week ago. They played Dartmouth. Dartmouth's terrible this year. I would totally go with Yale on that side. And then your boys, Iona, is playing St. Peter's College.
We also have some good games on Friday, Joe. If you take a look at the schedule, there is a few good games. Georgia Tech on the road versus Clemson.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know the line there. Wake Forest travels to NC State, who badly needs to win if they want to get in the tournament.
Yep.
Richmond, who is a legitimate tournament team at this point, most likely, travels to Duquesne to take on them. Richmond has to win that game if they want to stay in the tournament, so that's a huge bubble game there. We got VCU traveling to Davidson, North Carolina, to take on Davidson. That's a big A-10 game. And we have, let's see, Missouri State taking on Indiana State in the MVC tournament. That's a huge game right there. It's in St. Louis, Missouri, so it's basically a home game, I think, for Missouri State.
Hmm.
I'm not really sure where they play in terms of.
And we don't have lines on any of
compared,
these games.
Compared to Indiana State. So.
All right. Yeah. Oh, dude, Dan, this is like a big week, man. If you want to win, this is like investment week, dude.
I mean, this is the week that you kind of go over everything, right? This is the week.
Yeah, and then you follow a team, you keep following and following and following, and then when they get to the tournament, you fade them. it's kind of how I roll. And I'm not doing what we did last year for the tournament. I'm not betting every game.
Thank God. Let me give out one future I think that people who want to invest a little bit would like. In the WCC conference, the West Coast Conference, right now San Francisco is 40-1, so plus 4,000 to win the WCC tournament. They've almost beat Gonzaga twice. I think that you get some legitimate value there. So I would take a small stab at San Francisco, who gets a bye, by the way, to win the tournament. I think they have. I think that's incredible value, at least in my personal opinion. So,
and then quickly, I was looking at the men's scoreboard for the weekend, which I believe is what, 7th? The 7th. Yep. Just to tease a couple of top 25 games, and we'll get into all these on our Saturday program, and of course we'll have more on our appearance tomorrow. We'll touch on Rich, that people will hear later on because this comes out later. Villanova, Georgetown is one of the big games. I know Sunday features a couple of Big Ten games, but Auburn's at Tennessee, Wisconsin, Indiana. Baylor goes to West Virginia. Kentucky goes to Florida. Kansas is at Texas Tech. You get that Seton Hall Creighton rematch. Virginia takes on Louisville. Florida State hosts BC. You never know that. You got Duke, North Carolina again. Dayton's in action, and then Oregon, Stanford. So Saturday, dude, is going to be legit. And then Sunday, you get the Big Ten, Maryland, Michigan, Memphis, Houston, Ohio State, Sparty, and Illinois, Iowa.
And that's Selection Sunday, I believe.
16th, I believe, is Selection Sunday.
No, is it? Okay, so maybe, all right, so there you go. So maybe a mobile week of tournaments or whatever you got.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's really it.
I just watched UCF turn a 20-point lead into a 3-point lead in about 10 minutes.
College basketball, baby.
Yep, so I am sweating this UCF game right now, not feeling too confident.
You want to do the Brady stuff here?
Yeah,
you got anything else on college basketball or NBA?
I mean, I would like to talk about the NBA markets, but the futures market, but we can save that for Saturday.
Okay.
And that's a good thing to mix in on Saturdays.
Okay. And then, obviously, there's odds on Tom Brady and where he'll go. Today, I saw the Patriots at minus 170. It was 330. The only reason why I'm doing this is because I don't think I'll ever get better odds in my life. So I am taking PP, Tom Brady, to stay with the New England Patriots minus 170.
I will absolutely fade the living fuck out of that. Tom Brady will be leaving the Patriots. It's going to happen. Listen, you don't have Adam Schefter, Tom Kern, Phil Perry, everyone who has sources around here, Evan Lazar, Jimmy Stewart, everyone saying that Tom Brady will be leaving the Patriots unless, in fact, he's actually leaving the fucking Patriots. So I'm going to believe all the guys who are tapped in, and I would strongly advise to take Brady leaving the Patriots at whatever odds you can get them, especially field odds. To me, if Brady does not re-sign here by March 13th, which is the day that, you know, his cap
next
will be
Friday.
In effect. What is it? Next Friday?
It's the 16th, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Then they're not paying Tom Brady $41 million to come back. They're not. They don't have enough money
to spread
talent throughout the rest of the roster.
Yeah. So I think he's coming back. I think they're working on some moves. I don't have any intel whatsoever. It's just from what I gather.
That sounds like you do have info.
I don't have any info. But from what I gather, the Patriots have no other plan but for Tom Brady to be their QB this year.
I just can't believe that. When you look at the fact that the team decided to let him be a free agent and, you know, the fact that they did not care about, you know, letting him be a free agent and not franchising him, to me, that was the beginning of the end. And the fact that Brady has this massive cap hit that they can only stretch if he signs before March 13th, you know, the Patriots in their cap space. If they don't do that, he's not coming back. They're not paying Tom Brady $41 million on their cap to come play for them.
I get it. It all makes sense to me. I just don't think the Patriots have done anything to prepare for life without Tom Brady. So that's my...
I think that they're going to have options. I think you're going to look at a Jacoby Brissett or a Andy Dalton, which I know people don't like, but Dalton was really good when he wasn't with fucking...
People
Marvin
don't like
Lewis.
Dalton, but he's been respectable.
Yeah, I think that Dalton is half decent.
Hey, what are the other odds, by the way, quickly?
Let me see what I can pull up here. Right now, Brady to leave the Patriots I have is at +175. So that is the local odds that I have. Let me see what I can find in terms of a actual prop bet or a future. Let's see what we have here. Tom Brady. I don't have anything. So it looks like the Brady odds have been taken off the board, at least from what I have. I'll tell you what I had earlier today because I took a picture of it. Let's pull it up here. Nope, that's not it either.
I had a couple. I got it on my phone.
All right, here we go. The Patriots are -175. The Tennessee Titans are +200. The Los Angeles Chargers are +700. The Las Vegas Raiders are +700. That would be my pick. And the San Francisco 49ers are +1400.
Interesting.
Yeah, to me, it's L.A. or San Francisco or bust. That's the way that I would approach it. I'm not telling you to bet that. I'm just telling you, if you can get a field option against Brady, I would take the field option, at least in my opinion. I'm not telling you I have sources or I know what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you that when every single person has agreed with the fact that he's more likely than not leaving, it's hard for me to want to fade that.
Well, no, listen, I think he wants to go through the process, which is fine. That's great. Go through the process. Awesome. Yay. He's coming back.
By the way, the Celtics back up 4. Apologies. But nonetheless, I think that the Celtics game is going back and forth, and it looks like it's right on pace to go. It's right on the 111 pace, so it's going to be close.
Do you know what I hate? Is I hate when people, like, tag you in something when you don't know them.
Is on Facebook or Twitter?
Twitter.
Okay.
Like, I know, like, you know, it's... Like, if it was just a regular dude, right? Like, our buddy Bill, who does work. He's hopped up right now. He had a knee injury. He had knee surgery. And he sends us stuff, and I love it. I tweet it out. That's good stuff. That's like him doing work. You know what I mean? But then these other, like, these touts, CC is like, dude, I ain't got your back. You know what I mean? We're building our own brand over here, sucker.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It is kind of frustrating when people expect us to, like...
Oh, no, I love... Listen, if you're in the hustle and you're with us, you're doing a good job, I'm gonna give you a shout-out.
Yeah.
But, like, when you're, like, a tout and I don't know you and you CC me and it's like, dude, I don't... Who are you?
That's fair.
You gotta be handed with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
That's fair.
Regulators! Murder!
Let's see, the Celtics are a backup but for so. Let's see what they got going. Let's see what they got going on here.
Dan, right, Joe, I'm sure we have questions.
You want to take some questions?
Yes, just quickly.
All right. Let's start with our buddy Alex. Hey, fellas, quick betting question. I had a bet on a soccer game today, Inter Milan, but it got postponed. What happens to a bet when games are postponed?
Washed.
So they will usually push it. Unless it's about a day or so, sometimes they'll, you know, keep it pending. But most of the time, they will cancel your bets.
Yes.
Usually how it works.
Yes.
All right, question from our buddy Adam. Question for whenever the next pod is, so don't forget. What does it tell you when there's a smaller percentage of bets on one side, but more percentage of money bet on the other side? It means that there is sharp money on one side, and the actual public is on the other side. That is usually a public versus sharp side. So that's pretty simple there. Our buddy Bill asks us, what are some of the top WNBA future teams? So I have not done enough research in this. I don't have any options yet. So I will get back to you, Bill, in the next few weeks, but I'm not ready for that yet. I will get into WNBA slowly, but we're not ready. Our buddy Matthew asked a question, where do these locals get their websites? I've seen about 5 different ones. Is there a bookie black market?
Overseas.
What's up?
Overseas.
Yeah, so basically what happens is you'll find books that, the skins will move as the online books do.
Under the sea, You know what? How many times do you get that? I need a site, Do some research. Go online. You're on your phone all day long. You're on your phone all day. Just Google good sports books.
All right. Question from our buddy Dre.
Dre!
How are you guys? Happy to find your service. Do you guys compile and track units and records? Yes. We track everything in the Action app. Everything is there. Literally everything. Every single play that we have is in there. So
I keep a running tab of bets in my Twitter name.
And Joe also keeps that. So
but that's from week zero.
Yes. We don't have this from week zero either. This is like week 12, I think we started this, because it wasn't available. The actually, we started right when the app came out, Joe. The app was.
But I will agree, I will admit this. The last 30 days combined, Dan, I think we've been 500 or maybe 49%.
We have been pretty bad.
And it will say that on there. It's college basketball, dude. It's just this. It's basketball in general. Like, I can't. You go through some patches, you know. It's just.
I'd say our last 30 days is the worst 30 days we've had in quite a while since we were on that cold streak in college football. But I mean, really, I mean, even the last week we've been much better.
Well, dude, when we did our show week two, I started 0-7 and went 10-13. But what I'm saying though is that like. We're like giving plays to do it to try to get people to like listen to our show and hey, we know our shit, and we're giving out like way too many picks, and yeah. It crushes our record. Like what I've been doing, like we've been doing every day now, Dan, is hey, one or two plays we like a night, boom, here you go. You know what I mean? On a Saturday, we're giving out 8 to 12 plays. Like holy shit, that's way too many. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's what's and I'm not. This isn't an excuse making. I just think that. If you're going to give out that many plays, you should expect your record to be closer to 50%.
Agreed. All right. Question from our buddy Michael. Do you guys ever do MLS bets? And my answer is almost never.
Yeah, but remember, there was a time where you were loving those Revs games.
Yeah, you know, it's fun to look at stuff like that. But in general, that's not something I want to give out. We give out enough. And if you really want to talk about damaging your record, start getting into fucking soccer where...
By the way, Saturday, New England Revolution, Gillette Stadium, your PA announcer is Mike Sarge Riley. And I'm not bullshitting, I love the kid. Was very good during the playoffs and the Patriots, so I'm sure he'll do an outstanding job with the Revs.
All right, Joe, question from our buddy E, which we have answered them many times before. So E, this will be the last time we're
Easy E, we got Easy E and Dre, huh?
Yep. When do you guys buy the hook on full game first half decision making? So first off, E, most sites don't let you buy the hook on the first half.
You can't even buy points.
And if you do, they almost never matter.
Yeah, you can't buy points on halves.
You can in some places. Very rare.
Not my point.
Five dimes lets you do it. A few other places let you do it. But in general, very rare.
I will say this. Like in Vegas, anybody will let you do anything. You know? It's like, yeah, you want to buy? Okay, cool. We'll buy a point. Yeah, give me $20. Yeah, okay, cool. But yeah, my book doesn't let you do it for halves.
Yeah, no. So I'm not allowed to do it for halves either. When do you buy half point on the full game, Joe?
1.5, 3.5. I mean, I do it.
So those one possessioners.
Yes. Yeah. So I hate 7.5, and I don't like 6.5 either.
In football.
Yeah, football.
Basketball. Yeah, I mean, that's more than fair.
Like 2.5 in basketball. I've been laying it lately, and it's been coming around. I mean, I've been lucky.
College basketball, you got to pick and choose your spots. I keep telling people the most important thing that you can do in college basketball is bet spots. And if people start betting spots more, I think they'd be more successful in terms of long-term.
Last night, I like Sparty. I know what it said about Big Ten on the on home, but the old Sparty came through. And then you had Rutgers, right? And that's home. Yeah. Maryland was a ranked team going on the road against an unranked team.
Rutgers was a legit spot. By the way, Joe, St. Francis, PA, has knocked out Bryant's from the Northeast.
So does that mean Wallach's season's over?
We are going to have to make fun of Wall because Bryant's season is likely over. So I don't think Bryant will be getting an at-large bid to the tournament anytime soon.
Count it!
So, yeah, going to have to razz Mr. Wall about that tomorrow. Yeah, right now I am sweating this UCF bet. They were up by 19.5. They're up by 2 right now with 5 minutes left in the half. So... not going great, for me, at least there. The Celtics are up by 2. then the Cavs, the Arkansas, who I almost bet today, up by 15.
Wow. Wow. I didn't like that one. I didn't like, for some reason, I'm like, I don't understand this Arkansas line here.
Yeah. It was stupid by me not to bet them. I didn't love the spot, which is why, but it's the line told you everything. You know, oh, by the way, Cavs have just taken the lead against the Celtics, so not great. That's it. And Indiana up by 4 with 3 minutes left.
Any more questions or no?
That is it.
I got one more. One more. Parlay Pats faces federal charges after threatening pro and college athletes. Federal authorities on Wednesday charged a 23-year-old sports bettor known as Parlay Pats with transmitting threats of violence directed at professional and college athletes and their friends and families. According to a criminal complaint, Benjamin Tucker Pats of New York used multiple anonymous accounts on social media in 2019 to make threats against athletes, including members of the New England Patriots, several Major League Baseball teams, and multiple college basketball and football players. Some of the threats contain derogatory terms and racial slurs. Pats is charged with transmitting threats in interstate or foreign commerce. If convicted, he faces a max penalty of up to 5 years in federal prison. Pats did not immediately respond to the phone and email messages when he was asked about this. But just to kind of give you, he went after a player at Pepperdine. I don't even want to say on the podcast what he said.
No.
Just read it. The FBI also involved in this from players from the University of Arizona, Blue Jays, the Rays, went after a girlfriend of the Atlanta Braves player.
Okay, can we just stop? Here's what I want to say. Fuck you, Darren Rovell. This is your fault.
Boom.
This is your guy. Him. This is your fault. This is why Darren fucking Rovell should not work for a fucking gambling company, because he has no fucking idea what he's doing. So he gives, you know, all types of credit to a kid who wins $1 million on parlays. Hey, credit to the kid. He laid it. He hit it. Credit to him.
And how I remember him is when he, the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl, he sent a screenshot of a $10,000 bet against the Rams. And when the Patriots won, he sent multiple death threats to Patriots players on direct messages, Instagram, etc. Like, listen, guys, we get shit for giving out bad picks on Twitter. Like, we get shit. I've had one people, oh my God, Dan, I don't claim to be a tough guy. I don't want to be, like, I'm going to be 38 years old, okay? If I punch somebody in the face, it's going to hurt my hand. But God damn it, if you guys stepped to me, you never fucking would. Like, I was out on Friday night, Dan, right, for a wrestling event. And, like, so many people are like, oh, you're Joe. I'm like, yeah, I'm Joe Murray. Like, oh, okay, cool. Like, no, it was like, you know, all those dudes who chirp and talk shit. Like, they see you in person and they kiss your ass, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, man.
I don't want to get into that. Whatever.
I don't want to get into this either. I just, you know what? Fuck you, Darren Rovell, for giving this guy notoriety and getting him hired at the Action
Network. Dude, I agree with that. Like, you're 100% on that one. This guy's now giving death threats. It's like, let's pump him up for what he's done. He hit a couple of good parlays or whatever. And then the guy starts going after fucking players and, like, threatening their girlfriends and shit. Like, I'm sorry, that's the end of the line for me, my man.
Yep, this dude's a piece of shit. He deserves whatever he gets. And let me tell you something else. Darren Rovell should be fired from the Action Network for bringing this guy in. If you want to tout someone, you want to give them all this notoriety, you better fucking take the responsibility when you have a dude who you hire who does this shit. Fuck Darren
Rovell. And if I'm Instagram, take down his fucking page. Right? Take down his page. He's got a 13-play parlay that he hit for 330. Take him down. Don't fucking expose this guy. And, like, the sports betting community, I want this fucking guy as somebody associated with me. Fuck that.
No one likes this guy. No one. No one fucking likes this guy. No one ever thinks that fucking parlays are a good waste of, you know, a good way of spending money. No one wants to do this shit. This is bullshit. And let me tell you something else, okay? This guy is fucked.
Oh, he's like, done.
This guy's
fucked. He's going to have to, like, you know, if he wants to do this ever again, he's going to have to change his name. Like, he's going to have to, like, he's out. He's done. He's done.
Yeah.
This isn't Stu Finer coming back years later. Oh, shit. This isn't, like, you know, other guys coming back from what they've done in the past, you know?
Exactly. No, exactly.
Brandon Lang, yeah. We've seen that movie, right? See what happened with him?
I mean, seriously, yeah, we don't. fucking laying dimes or whatever the fuck it is. What's the term you use? I think it's dimes, right? Maybe it's dimes. Anyways, who gives a shit? Laying fades is a thing for a reason. So, anyways,
we got a show on Saturday, Dan.
Yeah, we got a show on Saturday. So Saturday, I will promise to give out two picks for NBA playoffs where I think there is legitimate value. There's only, I think, one or two games for each of these teams in between, so it's not going to change drastically. I will give out the value of these teams. I think that both these teams have legitimate value in terms of taking to win their respective conferences. We'll definitely go over college football. I'm sure we'll do some XFL. Joe will kind of give you his plays in that. I don't know. What else are we missing for Saturday, Joe?
That's it, man. Stay tuned. Top 25, and again, we're a week away from essentially Selection Sunday. So my suggestion is this. If you have money right now for a bankroll, there is a lot of profit these next 2 weeks when it comes to conference championships. What I would suggest is only bet a portion of your bankroll, a percentage, small percentage, because once that Thursday comes, or Selection Wednesday, whatever it is, Selection Sunday, and then like those play-in games, etc., you're going to start to want to bet these games. And I'm telling you right now, if you bet every single game, you're going to get your ass kicked, and I'm proof. I did
Joe
it.
Joe Murray is living proof.
Dude, Dan, I had a bank. I was rolling last year. And I was like, hey, you know what? Let's just do this for the show. Let's do it. And like, I got creamed. And it wasn't because I didn't know what I was doing. It was because it's too many bets at too many different times.
You can't have an edge on everything.
Yeah, like, it was fun. It was fun, but I lost. So, whatever, and I'm back this year, and I'm ready. I got my bankroll on swole.
Ready to not bet every game?
I'm ready at least for today. All right, he's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We got to wake up early tomorrow, and this will be up for everybody. Anything else, Dan?
Nope, that's it.
All right, this is another edition of Over Under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.